I'm rewinding your message, preparing it for playback.
This is a tremendous time to be alive as a Black American. We've been existing under this facade, these lies the Democrats have orchestrated because they consider us a low information voter market, you know, and they think we're not going to research the stats and we'll never find out.
I hate the race card. It's played every election year.
Absolutely.
Every single election year. It drives me nuts. You know, 14 states, Daryl, now have record low unemployment, record low. Black Americans, record low. Hispanic Americans, record low. Women in America, record low. Unemployment records. That is since Donald Trump was elected president of the United States. Is that good for America? Obama had 8 years, 13 million more Americans on food stamps, 8 million more Americans in poverty. That was his legacy. Who's doing a better job? Who's doing a better job?
Well, Sean, first of all,
who?
I don't know how President Trump could take responsibility for that progress. That still doesn't deal with the real issue. The real issue is that Black Americans are still having great difficulty in the unemployment for Black Americans twice that of whites.
Until every forgotten man and woman has a job and a trajectory to the life they want in this great free country. You're not answering my questions. Look at these numbers.
Well, we agree in some ways.
Did Obama fail with 13 million more Americans on food stamps? Did he fail? Did he fail with 8 million more in poverty 8 years later?
No, he did not fail at all. He did not fail at all. I think what he did was
Seriously?
He made Black America a focus. What I want to see, though, is President Trump to show us that Black America is a priority for him and to have specifics as to how he plans to do that. There are issues of mental health,
education,
healthcare.
He's beating around the issue, and it's okay. I actually like when they do this, have these delusional responses. Just admit that the Blacks are doing better under the Trump presidency. That's totally fine, but it's this refusal to admit it, and Blacks are going to start doing the research, and they're going to start seeing what's going on.
I have been frustrated. Al Gore, Republicans don't even want to count you in the census or, you know, the change in tone and cadence before predominantly Black American audiences, I always felt was insulting. But the policies, you know, look at what Kanye said, 4,000 American souls slaughtered in Chicago. We once scrolled the names. We heard about Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman. We heard about Freddie Gray, Baltimore. We heard about Ferguson. I scrolled the names. We never heard of these 4,000 people shot and killed.
Well, listen, that's because Chicago is run by Democrats, and they never want to hold up a mirror to what they're doing, so that's why we never heard those names. 4,000, that's exactly right. That's the exact same number, about the same number of Americans that were slaughtered in the Iraq War. Right? It's a war zone. And Trump offered to send the National Guard, and the Democrats majorly opposed him. So what it comes down to is Trump is trying to be effective there, and we're seeing that we have so many great results in Black America because of him.
What do you say to Daryl?
But Sean, let me say this, though. I think I want to hear from our president to tell us that something about Black America is a priority for him tomorrow. I would love to hear him focus on mental health, education, health care. Those are issues that he can help us with tomorrow.
Yeah, Obamacare worked out great for everybody.
On those issues.
Well, look, it sounds like you're signing up for 8 years of Trump. That's what it really comes down to, because he's doing a great job, the numbers are better, and he needs more time in office to continue to do an amazing job. So it sounds like you're almost aboard the Trump train, which makes me feel happy. We're agreeing on something here.
Well, let me say something. I want to see Trump be successful because this is our country, but I don't think he is focusing on the issues that really affect Black America. I hope he would, though.
So then you must agree that Obama was not focusing whatsoever on the issues that were affecting Black America if you don't think that Trump is right now, because the numbers are in and Blacks are doing better under his administration.
I love President Obama, and I don't think we should spend any more time trying to put him down.
I think it's important to show that things are a lot different, and it's important because they, for so long, they have told us that because there was a Black president, this meant progress. Progress is not a skin tone. Progress is a number, okay? And for so long, we've been convinced, look, he's taking a photo op with Beyonce and Jay-Z. That means absolutely nothing. Chicago got worse while Obama was in office, and he came from there. That's what it, I mean, you can't dispute the facts
here.
Is this
a cultural shift? Is this going to happen?
We are on the brink of a cultural shift, and I can tell you right now, it is going to be amazing.
Radio, DJ.
One nation, one station.
All right, guys. I pray you enjoy the bonus audio because that is one of my absolute favorite debates from 2018. Right now, I wish for you to join me as I fast forward to a previously recorded private broadcast featuring Dr. Randy Short, Paul McKinley, Reverend Joseph Green, Bishop Gerald Scott, Deborah White, and Philo the Great. And yes, you're right. We were infiltrated, as most great forums often are, but the panelists held their ground, and that's what is most important. All right, so listen now as we rejoin the panel as they discuss President Trump's recent visit to Benedict College. I hope you enjoy this broadcast. Please leave your comments below. Oh yeah, and don't forget to subscribe and share this audio.
I would like to just piggyback off both of your sentiments, and I agree 100%. And one of the things that they have been so good at, the liberals, is this bait and switch. And so just like this event in South Carolina, what they did was they continue to say they're going to boycott President Trump or not participate or not sit down and have meetings with him. And then on the other end, they will try to tout him not doing anything for the community. The other thing that I saw that was really disingenuous is when Obama was president and he really didn't do much for African-Americans. That wasn't his focus. We know he looked out more for LGBTQ and, illegals, undocumented people. Yeah, mm-hmm. he looked out for them. That was his priority. And then when that happens and you bring that to the attention, then people say, oh, he was just a president. He, you know, they fought him tooth and nail. You know, he couldn't just look out for black folks. But now when Trump is president, all of a sudden he has this sovereign supreme power where he can control everything, you know. And, Obama could have done more and he didn't. And so now Trump is actually doing things that Obama could have done for the black community. But because of this bait and switch, you know, our black leaders are saying they're not going to participate. They're not going to be a part of what he's doing. And even though he's pushing forward, and then, you know, like in South Carolina, they get to a place where they say it's horrible for him to even come to HBCU. So he's reaching out to HBCUs. I've been on conference calls. They said Obama in 8 years didn't meet with HBCU presidents. Trump has done it twice. You know, these opportunity zones are helping HBCUs, even the ones that were hit by Hurricane Katrina. They have something in place that's helping them with the debt that was incurred through Katrina. And even these opportunity zones are giving them the ability to gain resources and wealth. But then when he does that, they say, oh, it's terrible for him to even have the audacity to show up at HBCU. So it's a classic bait and switch. And we as black people have to get to the place where we are more focused on the principles and the platforms that will help our community. And we have to look across out of this whole liberal plantation to say, whoever it is that has policies in place that will help us, that's who we're going to support. And we don't care if it's an R or a D or if they're white or black or whatever. And, and like the bishop said originally, you know, we've tried the liberals for 50 years now and they've come up wanting. You know, that experiment is over and we realize that they failed. And so now it's time for us to be more open-minded and
they
get out of our feelings and our emotions.
They did that on purpose to us. They deliberately aimed to destroy us. Don't call it failure. No, that's no failure. Hitler didn't fail. He meant to do genocide on the Jews. They mean to wipe us out. There's no failure. There's no failure.
They keep us dependent on them, right? Keep us dependent on them. So, yeah, so I'm 100%
one thing. This is Bishop Scott. Hello? Hello, I just wanted to add one point to it, and I was looking, you know, I was preparing somewhat for this program today, and it says that historically, even George W. Bush did more for historically black colleges than did Obama. When
yes,
George
sir.
W. Bush gave $85 million towards black schools,
yes,
Obama and his first administration took that away. And
yes,
then we look at Donald Trump. I'm not a big fan of Donald Trump in so many areas, healthcare and other things. But in this area, I mean, I give anyone credit for what they're doing that's positive. And let me say this, that Trump not only helps black colleges, but he's one of the first ones that actually is trying to offer help to black colleges with religious affiliations. And you know many
That's
of
right.
our colleges, like Morehouse, like Payne, and others,
That's right.
are really black, have begun their history as black schools, in particular AME schools and Baptist schools. And so he's not only endorsing and supporting colleges that are black, secular colleges, but he's also wanted to help those that have religious affiliations as well. Now, I don't know anybody, and particularly in the Democratic Party, that even considers helping religious organizations at all, really. I mean, that's really, right. I mean, they're really almost right. becoming atheistic in a sense. They certainly are agnostic, the leadership is, anyway.
Right.
You know, but Trump has really reached out to the faith community as a whole. And you have to look at that. I mean, you know, yeah, there's issues. There's issues I'm sure all of us have with Donald Trump. There's issues I have with Barack Obama. I mean, there's issues I've had with Clinton. There's issues I've had with all of them in one level or another. But you have to give credit where credit is due. And in this regard, he has been a champion for those persons who want to who are of African American descent, who want to better their education, go on to universities and colleges throughout this country. He's made it easier. He's given more help, more support in doing that. And so with that in mind, I say kudos in that area.
I just have to say this, that Barack Obama is the biggest racist that has ever been inflicted on black people on a global basis in 500 years.
That's
I don't
right.
care who doesn't like it. I don't care who doesn't like it. I went to Harvard with Obama. I know that Obama told white people he hated black people's guts, and they could trust him to punish black people, and he knew how to do it. He did that at the law review at Harvard, and he did it as president of this country.
And he done it
in
Chicago.
And I have a prayer to God. God, let me be like Samson and knock down this Democratic Party that's destroyed my people. I can die happy if I destroy this thing. I look at the drugs. I look at the ruined lives. I look at the radical lesbian feminism that's made black women into a parody of what they used to be. I look at how it's made black men all want to be RuPaul or what's that woman that Tyler Perry plays, Madea. When I look at what they've done to us, how they've run the black churches out of the city, how they've run the black businesses out, how they've given money to illegals and starved us, how they can teach phonics to other people to learn how to read and our kids can't have it. I live in D.C., and I'm living in Baltimore, and they're about the same. The blacks are oppressed by the Democratic Party. It is the party of black genocide by stealth, through abortion, through mass incarceration, through the sodomite industrial complex. Do you know that in the schools that our kids are in, they're forcing them to learn all this filthy sexual stuff, and you can't even talk to them? The only person that said, hey, look, let's offer counseling to these children so they don't have confusion about their sex, is Betsy DeVos, as much as I can't stand her most of the time. Y'all don't know that. So let me say this. We have an HIV/AIDS epidemic in this country. We have a septicemia epidemic in this country. It is disproportionately killing black men and black women. And the Democratic Congressional Black Caucus, with the gay community, with the so-called civil rights community, is allowing our people by the tens, if not hundreds of thousands, to get infected and ultimately die. And this is what the Democratic Party has brought to us, is nothing but death, divorce, disease, abortion, marginalization, gentrification, and ultimately our extermination in this country.
Yes.
And they've used crooked Negro preachers, crooked so-called community leaders, crooked in a filthy, degenerate entertainment culture and a sports culture. This is all they've done. They won't rest until every black baby's guts run down the sewer, until those of us are poisoned by the lead in the water, lead in the air, the chemtrails and all the stuff they've done to us, all the wars that they keep having, all the pedophilia that they're systematically putting through our schools. They're handing our children over to white sodomites to rape them and then tell them, you were born this way, and put them out in the street. And if you even say, brother or sister, Jesus is love, you'll be the person that's a bigot, not the rapist, not the pedophile, not the molester, but the people who stand up for the principles and the values of our people. We're being criminalized by the Democratic Party.
Absolutely.
Well said, well said.
Let me give you a little background on President Obama and the Democratic Party. We just voted in a Democratic governor. The very first thing he did was to sign an executive order so a woman can have an abortion in 8 months. The second thing he did was to push marijuana to be sold in all of our communities. But he did not want to free everybody that had been convicted of selling marijuana and get it off their record. If it's legal, then everybody should go home. It don't matter about what ex post facto means. That was back then. What's happening now? Let our people go. Second of all, after he got in there, the next thing he did was to have casinos, pass a law for casinos in our community. The Democratic Party is not trying to let our people recover from the crack epidemic.
That's right. And brother, they're trying to push for legalized prostitution all over the country, which would be a form of sexual slavery for black women and boys and men, and they put tens of millions of dollars behind Black Lives Matter, Black Youth 100, the NAACP, and others want to make our people sexual slaves who will die from venereal disease and drug addiction. This is what they're calling economic growth, and they want casinos in D.C. too. So they want to have people where you can adopt 7 or 10 children, and when they're 13 or 14 or 15, you can prepare them legally, if they get to have Border Devil, and you can have your own little prostitution chicken farm. This is what they call economic growth. This is insane. They want to reduce the gay agenda. They want to get rid of the age of consent laws. You forget Nancy Pelosi's brother, Roosevelt D'Alessandro, 60 years ago this year, 61 years ago, gang raped 2 girls, 2 babies, with 14 other people from leading families in Baltimore, and they got off using the mafia. This is a woman who put this Gay Equality Act that got it through the Congress, and every single solitary black member of the House of Representatives either co-sponsored the bill or voted for black people to be replaced with necrophiliacs and pedophilia and people who want to have sex with animals. This is what they have done.
You want to know the sad thing about this, though? Is that when you play this, many of our black or African-American people are not going to believe anything that we're saying because they won't go do the research. They won't check it out. They believe everything the Democratic Party tells them without question. That bothers me.
They can't be helped. So they'll be in Jonestown like the other 1,000 black people that got killed down in Georgetown, Guyana, by the pedophile, homosexual, drug-addicted, communist, de facto leader of the Democratic Party of California, who helped make the career of Nancy Pelosi and Feinstein and Boxer, and all of that came in through the People's Temple. It was a mega church used to enslave black people. It was an experiment, and obviously they learned if you push a filth and sexual degradation and gayness and make it cool and put it within a thing of the Democratic Party, you could get black folks to even forget that they've been mass murdered.
My name is Lambert, and I hope that I don't have any noise in my background. Can you hear me, Valerie?
Yes, sir. I can hear you loud and clear. Thank you for that.
Oh, okay. Now, I'm hoping that I don't get interrupted because one thing about me, I value time. And so I'm asking for 2 minutes. So I would hope no one would interrupt me because I've been listening. And as I listen, first of all, I'm not a Democrat or a Republican. I'm a black man living in America who knows who he is. And when I hear people say in one paragraph, because I've heard that in this conversation, 1 minute you're calling our people African-American. Next, two sentences later, you're calling them black people. See, that's confused to me. There's no such thing as both. It seems one or the other. Okay, that's number one. Number two, when I hear black people talk about one party only, that gives a pass to the other people that run the Republican Party. See, you have to remember that the people that are Republicans now, they used to be Democrats, but they switched because of the area and the direction they went. So while black people are arguing with each other on who's mistreating black people the worst, we're all in the same boat. And at the same time, when you start talking about what they call secret societies, there are places that are called, it's one out there at Harvard and all up in there, called Crossbones and Skulls. They also have one in California called the Bohemian Grove. You ought to study. Both parties are in there doing ungodly acts, including Ronald Reagan, including Obama, including Clinton. All of them are in there, and they're cross-dressing in the Bohemian Grove. Look it up. So I think we need to spend less time on who's mistreating black people and unite, unless we're still suffering from the Willie Lynch syndrome. That's what I have to say.
Can I address the gentleman?
I'm sorry. I'd really like to address your first statement about African American and black, because that was me who brought that out. I used the term African American, I used the term black, and I also used the term American Aboriginal. That bothers me far more than it bothers you, this African American and black thing, because they have put two things together. They have put African American descendants of slaves, who actually there are those who came here in slave ships and were enslaved. But they're also putting together, they're also adding in my people, who are the Aboriginal people of this continent. I come from a Choctaw nation. And those people that they brought in who claim to be Native American are not the American Indian. So I use both because both are on this continent. The African American descendants of slaves is more in tune with the Democratic Party because the Democratic Party placates their idea to go back to Africa and think that I'm going back with them. And I'm not, because this is my continent and this is my land. That's number one.
Okay.
Number two, when we talk about the Bohemian Grove, the Bohemian Grove is something that our people are just now becoming aware of. The Bohemian Grove, you can't even become president unless you're initiated in the Bohemian Grove. Donald Trump, as I have heard, is the first president to say, I won't be a part of it. So I have done the research on the Bohemian Grove.
Let me comment now that you mentioned that. First of all, an African American to me, as a person who's traveled abroad, lived internationally personally in the 70s and 80s, for what I see, I would call an African American a person who comes over here from Africa and is allowed to become an American citizen by taking that brainwash test. Now, that's an African American to me. Now, when I hear people talking about Aboriginal and things like that,
Your opinion is one thing. Law is something else. African American by law is someone who came over here on a slave ship and is an immigrant.
Why do you call black people African American and black people in the same sentence?
Wait,
why do you call yourself a black Republican?
Wait a minute, man. Didn't nobody interrupt
no,
you?
No, what it is is
well,
just
well, I've already been interrupted.
Said,
I wasn't
but
finished. She addressed me.
Irrelevant.
These are misguided Negroes
hold on,
who think they're going to be accepted by the Republican Party.
Yeah,
you're going to be
please.
A nigger to them no matter what you call yourself.
But wait a minute. We're not going to digress.
I'm not going to say anything else, Valerie. I'll go on mute.
Ma'am, brother, ma'am.
But
I am
what
my parents have told me.
We're not going to digress. We're not going to take the subject
right.
matter
yeah.
and digress.
Because part
say
of what this gentleman's
let
doing
let
is he's distracting from the actual topic. He's distracting from the topic because
something.
At the end of the day. Well let me interject, please.
Look how they stumble over each other to talk.
Okay, but let me say something. When you was talking, didn't nobody interrupt you. You got your
okay.
Whole
I'm all ears, brother. I'm all ears.
Okay,
go ahead.
Thank you very much. You interrupted me now. I don't need you to say that. Just
well, you're still talking though. But go ahead and talk.
But let me say, Pamela, if when you talk, didn't nobody interrupt you.
You
I don't need
said
you to comment.
Three times,
I don't need
brother.
You to respond. I don't need you to respond to what I'm saying. It ain't warranted. I just want to say what I got to say.
I'm all ears.
Our people got a whole lot of issues. A whole lot of issues. And our people got a whole lot of opinions and a lot of ideas and understanding. Some do, some don't. About who we is, where we come from, back to Africa, stay in America, all kind of things. But our people got one problem. And that's the American system, United States system. That's what our people got a problem with. And for the last 50 years, the only reason we're talking about the Democratic Party, for the last 50 years, we've been underneath the Democratic Party. Nobody's saying that the Republican Party is going to save us, that we're going to all go to heaven in a little rowboat. But I've always noticed about this. See, because I've been to the penitentiary. I've always noticed about this. You are the company that you keep. Some people are drawn by all this stuff that we talk about. Some people want to go in there and get an abortion at 8 months. I'm talking about our people. Some
right.
people want to go and – just let me finish. Some people want to indulge in all that gay democracy.
Mm-hmm.
Some people want to be drunk. Some people want to be misused. The Democratic Party for the last 50 years done this to us. Without any doubt. We ain't no Republicans because there ain't enough black folks to say that we can make a Republican in president. We can't say that because most of our people going in the wrong way. But I got an issue with black folks want to find everything wrong with each other or what we saying or how we talking to each other. We can find everything wrong with each other, but we can't find nothing wrong with white folks.
Agreed.
That's really what conversation we talking about. By white folks. That's what we're talking about. Now, you didn't like black folks. You didn't like Africans. You didn't like Africans. Okay, fine. We're talking about white folks. That's what we're talking about. White folks are telling black folks to be a fool and keep being a fool. That's what we're talking about right now. Now, I'm going to bag up off the phone. Now, come back with an answer and tell us what we should do. Just talk about white folks. Don't talk about no more black folks.
Okay, since you asked me to come back,
I issue with white folk.
I'll respond to that, and like I said, I value time, so I won't. If you're gonna let me respond,
you can't stand up against white folk. You can't. Let me
respond to that
because I'm a man. I'm a black man, and whatever kind of other man you want to call me, I talk back to white folk and get out on them too. So as long as we
okay.
own this conversation, let's talk about them white folks. And if you ain't trying to talk about what them white folks doing to us, man, please stay up off the phone, man.
Okay, I can respond.
No personal hatred toward black folks.
I love black people.
That personal hatred for black folks. So we talking about them white folks. That's what you're upset about.
Well, no, not really. What I'm saying is,
with the Democratic Party, you ain't got no problem with them white folks doing us.
Well, first of all, you've never met me, so you can't assume what I am. That's number one.
I heard you were saying to the young lady, and I heard you were saying to the whole crowd.
And, let me finish.
You don't want to have to send us talking back to white folks. You don't want to have some problem with it.
No, I don't have a problem with it at all. As
okay,
a matter of fact,
then. Get on board, then. You ain't got no problem. Get on board, then, with it, player. Get on board.
Well, first of all,
you ain't talking about nothing, Joe.
Well, first of all, there's somebody that's more qualified than me to talk about white folks, and he's doing a great,
right,
and he's doing
else.
A great job, and his name is Louis Farrakhan.
We talking about you, though.
Well, I can speak for me. If you let me finish, I can speak for me.
I want to hear what you got to say. Don't tell me about nobody else. What you got to say?
Well, I can't talk over you.
Gentlemen.
About somebody else. You stand up, Bill.
Gentlemen, this is Bishop Scott. Gentlemen, let's talk to each other, not at each other. You know,
one at a time.
Express their opinion. And then you can rebut that. Let's let it be like a debate. One person expresses
right.
their opinion, then the other person has the right to
right.
to address
that's right,
that
brother. That's
opinion.
Right.
Give
there's
them the right to respond,
sense.
And
yes,
then
sir.
we can come to some kind of reasoning. Let's reason
right.
together. Let's reason
I
together.
Yeah,
you know, and if we can
that.
Reason
and I'm
together,
with you, Bishop.
We may find a resolution.
You're right. Okay,
and reasoning
so
together, we can find a resolution.
Let's get started.
And let
I
me
just
I can't
and,
stand
hold on one second, sir. You asked Mr. Davis to respond to what you were saying, and Mr. Davis said he wanted to respond.
I asked him to respond. I asked him to apologize to the lady.
Okay, but give him an opportunity
to
respond, and then let's shift and go back to the original, you know, purpose
to the actual topic
that
we're talking about.
Yeah. So Mr. Davis, what would you like to say?
Well, when a person gets emotional about white and black discussion, that is, to me, that's good because it brings a dialogue about it. See, I'm more interested in institutionalized racism, and that involves white folks from both parties. If black people are putting their hopes into a person like Donald Trump, who has shown you his true colors, obviously he's doing great with criminal justice. Obviously, he's doing those things. That's great. But I look at the whole picture. What else is he doing?
Don't give him a pass.
Don't give him a pass just because of that. That's wonderful what he's doing, actually.
That's not what I was going to say. What I was going to say is Donald Trump has put more money in the so-called African-American community than any of the Democrats at this day. The problem I have with this is that the Democratic Party is blocking everything that Donald Trump is doing for us by painting him as a racist. And I'm not saying he's not a racist, because who is over us that isn't a racist? So I don't care that Donald Trump is a racist. This is what I care about. Donald Trump is making more moves for us than any other person in the Democratic Party. I don't care. I don't care if he takes his penis out and throws it on the floor. If he's made a way for us to come into our own communities and get some autonomy, we need to look at that opening and we need to walk in, because the Democrats have not opened a door for us yet. If anything, I remember Robert Plecker said, we are now finishing up our progress of 4,000 years. Where black people, we can't even let them see the light of day. And the Democrats have made sure we don't see the light of day. They have made sure of it. And you're making me cry, because I know what they have done to our people. I'm 68, sir. I remember before that we were like before racial integration. Who in this world has had to go into somebody else's community to get equality? They told us we lived in the ghetto. I didn't live in the ghetto. Well, I had a goat in my yard, a chicken in my yard. I could pluck my own food, and I sat on the garage and ate food from my garage. Now I got to go to an Arabic to get my food. That's the Democratic Party has done that to me.
And Mr. Deborah, I hope that I'll be able to clean this up a little bit, but I really want to hear what you say, and I'm not exactly sure why your volume keeps going down, so I just want to make sure, because that was, you made a very, very relevant point, and I want to make sure that we hear that.
I'm going to put myself on mute and
like my
Oh, you don't have to. I just want you to stay at this volume so that we can hear you. That's all I was saying.
Ma'am, let me say something to you. I'm 60 years old. Whoever dude is, he ain't too much older than me. He ain't old enough to be my father. He don't need old enough to be my big brother.
Look how it's degenerated. That's amazing.
No, it ain't degenerating. You don't want nobody.
She just made a great statement.
You don't want to make.
And
you don't
want
to
come back talking about age.
You don't want to let nobody
gentlemen,
talk.
Gentlemen.
You don't want to let nobody talk.
That's
you want
sad,
to take
really.
Gentlemen,
Willie Lynch. Study Willie Lynch, young people. Study Willie Lynch.
This ain't no Willie Lynch. Dude, come in. Let me say something to you, young lady. Everybody that's your color is not your people.
That's
you got
right.
Some black folks that's working with white folks. When Martin Luther King used to go in them towns and get black folks to do protests, they would always get another Negro to come behind Martin Luther King and calm the people down and tell whatever Martin Luther King was doing that don't do it. And then he would come in and spook the people. He would come
that's
in and get the people to not do it. He would always find a reason to not say nothing about white folks. He couldn't find it in his heart to talk back to them crackers because he was too busy trying to be like one of them. He went to his schools. He got the best education or what he thought was the best education, and he became brainwashed. And so every time black folks came together, there was some dissent. So you better understand, when you're bringing all black folks together, you got different mindsets. You got different philosophies. Like the young lady said, she said, I'm an Aboriginal. I'm Chaw-Chaw. Then she said, I recognize African American. Then she said, I recognize black power. When you be hearing people saying they black, they be talking about they black, that's black power. What I'm recognizing as black power. I ain't trying to pray the devil out of white folks. I'm about kicking them in their ass. And so the problem with your man, he ain't made out of what I'm made out of. He know he ain't. He ain't never stood up to no white folks, and he can't tell you when he ever did.
This is Bishop Scott. I haven't spoken in a long while. I tried to keep the peace and tried to talk to the gentleman, but I've not made any points since the beginning, very beginning. And I just want to add two points. I'll be 68 in November the 7th. So I'm you guys' age. I'm big brother to some of you, and I don't know, maybe little brother to some others. But nevertheless, I'll be 68, and I know all about Dr. Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Stokely Carmichael, all of those heroes, and Ralph Abernathy and all the rest, Andrew Young and the rest. And let me say this. One problem that I see here, and I agree with one thing that I think the young lady was saying about, I know Lyndon Johnson was a racist, but Lyndon Johnson did a lot for black Americans. And many of the civil rights movement that people are now adopting and embracing were civil rights movements that were meant for African Americans, not for any other race or any other ethnic group. When Johnson wrote and pushed through the Civil Rights Act, the Fair Housing Act, the Voting Rights Act, all of that was to enhance those people that were called African Americans at that time, Negroes, and to enhance them. There weren't that many other minority groups here, and it was not for them. It was for the disenfranchised persons of descendants of slaves and to make things a little better for them. And for us, which is what we are a part of. Another point I want to make, and then I'll be through. Another point I want to make is, in our community, we have become so indoctrinated that, like the young lady said, and I think a couple of the gentlemen said as well, that we don't look at things as we should look at them. We don't investigate things like we should investigate them. We just go party line no matter what. We always vote Democrat no matter what. And until we get some of these black congressional members out of Congress and out of the Senate, things will never be good for us. But we keep on voting them in. I remember
yep.
It was not very recently. We have men even in there now that have been in there 45, 49 years in Congress. Come on now. They live in $1 million houses and they only receive $174,000 a year, and they're living in multi-million-dollar housing. Come on now, they are
selling us out.
All of these things. We have to look at this, but we're selling ourselves out because who put them back in the office? time and time and time again. It's the African-American community. We voted for Obama the first time, and I did as well, you know, hoping that this black man, and that's what he was, he's not African-American, his father was Kenyan, his mother was white, but this what we consider a person of color. That's what I called him, a person of color. We thought he was going to champion our cause. He said at his inauguration, I'm not a black president. I'm the president of all Americans. And he governed his presidency like that. We came back in 2012, thought maybe he'll change his mind. Maybe he'll reconsider and at least push for, like he did Jewish people, like he did Native American people, and gave them reparations. What did you say about African Americans seeking reparations? He said it would cause division and animosity toward other members of our community.
That's right.
And that's what he said. Now, but yet he pushed for Jewish. Now, the Jewish Holocaust took place in the 30s and the 40s in Germany. And we gave them reparations. He approved that. We gave reparations to Native Americans. And he approved that. And I have no problem giving reparations to anybody. But don't come back after you give reparations to everybody else and come right back and say, but as far as African Americans, descendants of slaves receiving reparations, it would be too divisive. Why wasn't it divisive when you gave Jewish people reparations? Why wasn't it divisive when you gave Native Americans reparations? Why was there no division then? Why does it always have to be us? If you do anything that would help us and uplift us, then it will create division, then it would create animosity, then it would create schisms within this community, because this community does not want to advance the cause of African Americans.
I agree. And I'd like to say something that's really, really important when it comes to war. And we are not understanding that we are under a war and we are being attacked. War, by definition, means to confuse. Yes, our people are confused. That was the intent of this war, is to divide us and to confuse us. We're African Americans. We're Negroes when Robert Fletcher gets through with us. We're black when some of these black leaders get through with us. Now we're African American when Obama gets through with us. How do we know who the hell we are? You want
That's
to come
right.
out here and teach these children and tell them to be all that they can be? They don't know their ass from a hole in the ground because they don't know who they are. And people like me who is looking back into the history and saying, we have found that over 85% of the so-called African American was here before Columbus. This is our land. And the Jews are refusing us reparations. They got reparations for an incident that didn't even happen here. And if you do the research, you will find that not only did they get reparations, but it was our military that went over there and killed the people that they said. All they had to do was point and say, that person over there had to do with the Holocaust. And our army
hey,
went over there and killed them and hung them. Yet these Mexican gangs are coming in here and creating a Holocaust against us. And the Democratic Party won't even acknowledge it.
In fact, sister,
I wanted to ask everybody,
said,
hold on one second, Dr. Short. Can you guys hear Ms. White, or is it just me? Because
I can barely hear her. We hear her perfectly.
Yeah, I heard
her. We hear her perfectly.
Okay,
I can hear her perfectly.
Then I'm not going to worry about it anymore. If you guys can hear her, maybe it's just my mic. Okay, I'm sorry. Dr. Short?
Now, what all I was saying is that they have a new bill to make certain that Jewish people get reparations for anybody that got robbed back in the 1940s. So they're going to get more reparations. It's already in the pipeline. And I'm not anti-Jewish.
Okay.
I'll just tell anybody that I had plenty of folks who owned black people with whom they took sexual liberties, which is part of how I got here. And when I see them being opposed to reparations, it's because they know if you really start asking who were all the parties involved, some of them, in the words
right.
of my cousin Marvin Gaye, you got to give it up.
That's right.
Okay, what I want to do at this time, because I want to make the most out of these last few minutes, I'm going to go around the board and I'm going to give you know, you guys, I want you to speak because I want to make it clear the point you were trying to drive home, what you want the audience to hone in on, because you made some really, really good points. And I want to make sure that those points are very, very clear.
Okay. Well, again, my name is Deborah White. I'm a sociologist. I'm founder of the Hindsight Project. The most important thing to me is that our young people realize that the Democratic Party, the reason why they want open borders is because they're bringing in these Mexicans, one, to replace us, and two, to massacre us. I am putting together a rally, and I'm asking people to go to my site, thehindsightproject.org, become a member so that you can come to this rally in protest. They are asking us to break the law for illegals. That alone breaks the law.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. All right. So let's keep it going. I want to go back to Mr. McKinley.
First of all, I want the young people to know when all black folks come together, they're not going to all agree. If your mother and father not going to agree on everything, they're going to get into it with each other. But that don't mean they're going to be fighting and swinging and trying to hit each other. I want that to be understood first. People come along, we all come together, but we be bringing different pet theories, philosophies, ideologies. Basically, we be bringing a bunch of hunkified information that we didn't got from white folks, and we be saying it among other black people, and other black people just ain't trying to hear, not especially me. I've been to the penitentiary 3 times. I went to the penitentiary the last time I did 20 years, and that was my 3rd time. When I got out of the penitentiary, I was 38 years old. And when I got out, I opened up a system so we can put young men to work. I was still considered young. And so we had to protest all the construction sites in the city of Chicago, only to find out that all the black politicians were getting paid. They were making money off keeping black folks from going to work. Every time you walk in your neighborhood, every time you look at a store in your neighborhood, and a politician gave them the license to open up that store in your neighborhood. Every time you see construction with white folks in working in your neighborhood, it's your black leadership that mm-hmm. took that money and made sure. See, I want black folks to understand that, yeah, you got an enemy, but they want to just point at them white folks. Them Negroes was a part of this, too. It was some black folks sold us in slavery, too. And there's some black folks in America selling us back into slavery, if they can. If they can. That's what I want to get out.
Thank you. And I'm definitely sure our young people will appreciate that. Bishop Scott, and then I'm going to go to Mr. Davidson Short.
Okay, thank you. And thank you. Thank everyone who was a guest here this afternoon. I just want to say to the African-American young people to study for yourselves. Don't take all the information that you have from television, from politicians, from any one party, but you look at it, examine it, examine each candidate, each person that represents a nation, a state, a city, a county, or whatever the case may be. Look at their record for yourself. See what they've done. Be objective in your opinions. Don't be prejudicial in your opinions. Because some, like I think everyone has said at one point or another, everyone has done something admirable, and everyone has done something not so admirable, and some have done something rather disgusting, whatever the case may be. But look at what they've done. Look at how it has impacted your community. Not one person. Yeah, we got billionaires that are black African Americans. We have multimillionaires that are African American. But the community of African Americans as a whole. As a whole, and where do we stand economically? Where do we stand politically? Where do we stand socially? What are our cities like? Philadelphia, where I live, Washington, D.C., Baltimore, Chicago, Detroit, Los Angeles, Houston, Texas, wherever the case may be, we need to look at what is going on there, because the nation is made up of the cities. The nation is made up of the towns and the rural areas. The nation is not made up of a grand federal government outside of the local areas. So we need to look at what's happening in our nation and how it has impacted our people. And don't be so bent on, well, I got to be loyal to a particular party. There's no party I've ever seen, and I've been voting since 1972. There's no party that I've ever seen that has been really out for our best interest in the long run. They've all had their own personal agendas as it relates to us, and most time it has benefited us very little, if at all. So young people, study for yourselves. Examine for yourselves. Ask those persons that are elders. Ask those persons that walk the walk and have talked the talk and have lived the lives what this situation is all about, and don't be so ready to receive whatever the populace tells you you need to believe. I believe we need to go our own course, that we need to move in our own direction, and we need to follow our leadership. I'm not talking about leadership that's stamped by the majority group, but our leadership, people that really are willing to sacrifice their lives, their careers, like Martin Luther King. He sacrificed everything. They were offering him government jobs. He turned in his $75,000 that he got from the Nobel Peace Prize and put it back into the civil rights movement. He died by an assassin's bullet, fighting for the garbage collectors and for those young men and women that were fighting in Vietnam. That's how he died. That's what he died for, standing for the right. He even went against Lyndon Johnson when Lyndon Johnson, he felt, was not looking after the interests of African-American men and women. He went against his friend, his civil rights movement friend, when he thought that he was betraying the community that's African-American. That's what we need, people that are willing to stand up for and stand up for those persons that are, like ourselves, African-American. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. All right, so... Mr. Davis, I'm going to give you an opportunity to speak, and remember you're addressing our millennial audience.
Yes, I'm glad that I am, because I'm going to end my comments directed at the millennials. I have children that are millennials who have children, which makes me a grandfather. So I'm concerned about their future. So I'm talking to you, young people. Take a look at why your generation, the hip-hop generation, why are they attracted to Louis Farrakhan? Study him, okay? He's not the all of all, but why would a Snoop Dogg, who I admire, who's done a lot of good work in Long Beach, shout out to Long Beach, just wanted to study that, okay? There's a reason for that. I mean, he has all of the media that you like to look at. I personally believe that social media was created to distract you from your elders. Look at what's happened to Zuckerberg right now. When they put him under, he doesn't even fact check his ads. What does that mean? In terms of, you've heard some people mention Jewish this and Jewish that. Read this book, young people. It's called The Secret Relationship Between Blacks and Jews, and you'll be able to understand why they get what they get and we don't. And I'm going to end with this. Every race gets together and has disagreements, but they try to keep it in-house so they can move in the same direction. I love the millennials, and I'm going to do everything I can to help them. I'm not going to waste my time on people who want to divide us and make us, because the youth are the future. That's my focus. That's it for me, Valerie.
Dr. Short, are you on the line? 443-522?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. All right.
When I spoke to one of my elder brothers, Minister Akbar Muhammad of the Nation of Islam, regarding some things that we've got to get done, I always remind them that I share one philosophy, and that is that we must have sovereign, independent institutions that benefit us. And the words of my relative, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and as much as my family is from Sandersville, Georgia, the pools are my blood, had a wise saying, do for self. Where we have failed, the people before you, we have not done for self. We have not focused on self.
this man and others like him, Marcus Garvey and others, all struggle for us to control our own things, our own destiny. We must make our own bread, our own books. We need to know how to eat to live. We need to do business with self, respect self, discover femininity and true manhood. This has been the continual message of every progressive person that we've ever produced. I encourage you also to know God, because the key things I'll tell anyone that we only have God in each other, and we need to learn how to make that work for us like everybody else, and do for self, build for self, love self, defend self, respect self, love self, and then extend that to the others that are like you. It only takes a few to set this thing right. And so the burdens, not only the failures, but the challenges that your generation will face come from, one, compounded successes or semi-successes and major failures. Your generation has less time, but even more means than ever before to set these things right. But in the words of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it says, if you clean the inside of a cup, if you get straight the coons and the traitors and the sellouts and the enemies of our people, whatever they call themselves, you'll clean the outside. When we deal with our internal mess and we get that set right, no people under the sun can stop us from being free as sovereign on our dual land of Africa and the continent of North America. And I'm on the Trump train, not because I worship one party or the other, but our people were lulled to sleep by the Novocaine of inclusion into a burning bordello. And this man of limited manner and knowledge, has shook up our people and roused us from our sleep. And just as sure as I had three cousins burn up in a house fire because they couldn't be woke up, I'm so glad that we've been roused from our sleep. I don't care who rouses us, because once we wake up and once we see what our situation is, those who will come together, and no one will stop us. God bless you.
We're always interested in what you have to say about our live broadcasts.
Please share your comments on our Facebook page or websites.